Welcome, ladies. I'm Annette Chesney, and you're listening to the Never Narc podcast. If you've broken free from the entanglement of narcissistic abuse, congratulations. You're part of a very special group of amazing women who dared to believe a better life was possible and who partnered with God to stand up and say, I refuse to accept living under the control of a narcissist. I want the life God intended me to live, to be who God intended me to be, and take my place in the kingdom, achieving what I'm called to do. Now, at the moment, you may feel like you're standing on wobbly legs, but I promise the best is yet to come for you. Wendy Okers, Carol Pavlik, and I understand, and we're here to stand with you, to comfort and encourage you, to inspire and challenge you to rise from the ashes and create a beautiful life rich with purpose, peace, and delight. So grab a cup of your favorite brew, get comfy, and come join us for some great conversation in Never Narc Podcast. Hello, and welcome back once again to Never Narc Podcast. I'm your host, Annette, and I'm joined today with our co-host, Carol and Wendy. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you. Thank you, Annette.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah, so glad that we're back together. We always have fun. So for those of you joining us, pour a cup of your favorite brew in your best teacup or mug, you know, because there's something about that. It just makes the moment feel more special. So once you do that, pull up a chair and get comfy, because we've got some super practical things that we're going to talk about today. I think it's going to be really helpful because, you know, it does take a lot of courage and energy to break free from the entanglement of a toxic relationship. And we all know from personal experience that breaking free is only half the mission, though, because once you're free, it's on you to rebuild your life. It's not about going back to how life was before, because you are forever changed by what you've experienced. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But the task before you now is to lay a new foundation that sets you up to create an intentional life for yourself. So you get to decide what your new normal will be. You have the power right there in your fingertips. I know sometimes it doesn't feel like that when you've been dealing with a narcissist, because part of what they do is strip your power away deliberately. So we want to help you, you know, figure out how to, on a practical level in your everyday life, how to develop this new foundation that you need to help you move forward. And I know, Carol, you specialize in helping women with these specific tasks. So tell us more about this.
I like to get women to realize they do have a future. Because often by the time they come to talk to one of us, they are feeling they are at the end of the world. Life is over. There's no hope for a future. There is no future. They're terrified over how they're going to survive financially, where they're going to live, what people are going to think about them. They're going through a big meltdown, which is completely understandable. And they're going through it alone, because the majority of the time, people around them are not going to understand. The people around them have not necessarily dealt with a narcissistic relationship. So they're not really great at the feedback. They can't compare their experiences to what their friend is going through when they see this. So when we get them in and we're talking to them, it's just so important to start building their foundation, getting their feet on the ground and feeling like they have something to work from. So often, as I said, when they come in the office or when I'm meeting with somebody, there's times when women are practically in a fetal position because they've just been so destroyed. So what we do is we take one step at a time and we start rebuilding a foundation underneath their feet that makes them feel safe again and feel that, okay, this is a program. I just need to work the program one step at a time. And eventually trust that I'll get there, because I'm seeing women in front of me, especially in this community. When they're working in the cafe, they're going to see there are other women just like them who are maybe a few steps ahead, or seeing women come behind them. And then that helps them see how far they've come. So that's really the goal. We really want to create that for them.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
And I love the fact that there's so many practical steps too. And they don't have to be big, huge leaps, and you don't have to do them alone either. So it's not this big, overwhelming, huge task that has to be done all at once.
Right.
There's small steps to take.
This goes hand in hand with recovering your sense of self, your identity again, because that's another one of those things that gets shredded. So as you build this foundation under you, you start to feel a sense of mastery once again over your life. So if you're listening to this and you find that we're describing you, you know, in terms of the identity and feeling shredded in different ways, you know, as you get these steps under you, you're going to feel your power returning. You know, it's just so important, you know, so share with us, Carol, like what are the components of building a strong foundation? Like what are the pieces of the puzzle?
Well, let's start with recognizing that whatever they had in their previous relationship is now just gone. And that's scary at first, but it got there one piece at a time. So we're going to rebuild it one piece at a time. And so what that means is we want to look at where are you financially? What money do you have? How much debt do you have? Do you have a place to live? What can we do to get you situated in those areas? Looking at your people group, do you have support around you? Do you have family supporting you emotionally at all? Do you have friends supporting you emotionally? Mm-hmm. Maybe your church group, looking for all these little pieces, but we're going to do it one thing at a time. So what I like to start with most is finances, because if we feel secure financially, like we're not going to lose a house over our head or an apartment over our head. Mm-hmm. That is really so important for women who are coming out of this, because the person that you just walked away from or removed yourself from probably has threatened you saying you're going to be penniless, you're going to be homeless, life is going to come to an end for you. And even though you may realize that's probably not true, but it feels true. So we want to start putting all those pieces back. So let's start by doing a list of what your debt is. How much debt do you have? Name every credit card, every car loan, any expense that you have. Put it down. And actually, there's a great form for this. You probably heard of Dave Ramsey. He has a form called the Debt Snowball Form. That's a great place to start. Just look online for that PDF and start putting your information in. The instructions are even there. But this is for you. If you know how much debt you have and how much money you have going out, that's going to give you some pieces to figure out how you're going to manage this. And it will be manageable. Sometimes it seems impossible. And we want a magic fairy to come along and take all the debt away. And that's not for our good to happen. It's really better that we work the program because it teaches us a strong respect for finances. So we really want to honor that. Then we want to know about your income. Do you have a job? And often the women that we speak to may have been stay-at-home moms and hadn't worked in years, and they can't even comprehend how can I possibly have a career, a job after all these years as a stay-at-home mom. Meanwhile, my husband or my ex is making three times my salary. How am I ever going to live to my old standards? Forget that. Right. When you start living in your own means and you start establishing your income, you are going to feel better. You're going to feel the foundation under your feet. So that's what we're talking about. So we're going to look at your career, look at building your finances, look at how much you're spending. And some of the important things that often get forgotten are, if you were married, try to get a copy of the last 2 years of your taxes so that you'll know what your finances actually were. Those will come up somewhere along the way. And you want to be able to track the money, what your assets were, if you even had any. Often, and this is unfortunate, but often women who are in these relationships, the assets sort of disappear before the divorce occurs. It's just very creative financing. Or they may have even had you sign something that you thought was a good investment that they were proposing, and actually it was the money went somewhere and never to be found again. But if you have the last 2 years' taxes, you can follow the trail. So we're looking at doing that.
That's good.
We want to know where your credit score is. You can ask for your credit report once a year from all three of the major companies, and it's free. But you only need to get one, because they pretty much track each other. But when you see it, you can look and okay, this is where I am. These are all the debts that are in my name. And oh my gosh, this is something that I share with the ex. I need to get his name off. I need to get his name off all the finances, all the banking. If I have a car loan, I need to get his name off the loan and off the title. Any assets that you have, any credit cards, anything, you want to make sure it is now solely in your name. One of the sad stories I hear more often than you would think is if a man knows he's going to leave the relationship, if a narcissistic man knows he's going to leave the relationship, he often can have a little vengeance on his way out and purposely ding her credit somehow. You know, I've had the stories, and you probably had them too, where you believed in him, you trusted him, he was paying the bills, but didn't notice he wasn't paying your credit cards.
Right. That's exactly what happened to a friend of mine.
And all of a sudden,
she checked her credit and found out not only had he dropped paying her things all along while building up his credit, he actually forged her name on things and took credit out and stuff in her name that she didn't know about, used it, ran the credit up, and then just let it sit there. So, you know, she had to address all that
stuff.
That
is a nightmare.
And it was painful.
Right. That is a nightmare. And I'm glad you brought that one up because you can take, there are companies, LifeLock comes to mind, that you can secure your identity, you can secure your finances. And if anything comes up along the way, they're going to alert you. So things like that, you want to start being more protective than you've ever been before to make sure that nothing like that is happening. If you had an ex who did purposely ding your report, they see that you've had good credit all along and all of a sudden this drop-off happened, the creditors allow you to note the account. So you can put a note on the account, going through a divorce, ex-husband dinged my credit on purpose, was unaware. It doesn't always hold water, but sometimes people look at that and honor it. Which leads to another thing. You know, the husband or the ex who did this can write off, nicely and buy a house or get property because their credit is pristine, but they have tanked the woman's credit. She can't buy a house. She can't get an apartment. Mm-hmm. And that's an issue. So you may end up having to get a co-signer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so for an apartment, you need often three times the rental amount in income to be able to qualify for an apartment. You may need a co-signer. So hopefully there's a family member who will get you through your first lease as a co-signer. And then usually the apartment complex will honor just your name after that. They will see that you've been good through that. So that is one thing.
So there's hope.
Talking about jobs, there is hope. Yeah. And I know we're throwing a lot at everybody, but the reality is we're just giving an overview and we will break it down in simple terms so that everybody can work each step. But we want to just bring an awareness today and then we'll dig deeper as we go on further. I also want to talk about bank accounts because you may have had shared bank accounts along with your shared credit card accounts. You want those bank accounts removed from his name. You might even want to switch banks. You might want to switch. If you're staying at the same bank, you might want to consider changing to a new account. Several of us have experienced this where we thought that the ex was no longer on our account, but somehow magically they're receiving our statements. And the bank can't tell us why that's happening. And so they have full access to knowing that information and you don't even know they're getting it. So I usually advise people to just get a whole brand new account, whether at the same bank or another bank, whatever works for them. And then we want to work on how you're going to manage that money. So we talked about the debt snowball quickly. So we want to get you out of debt. We want to teach you to save.
Could you elaborate on the debt snowball?
Share
with us.
This is that the list I said earlier, you're going to list every debt that you have from highest to lowest on one page. And the Debt Snowball PDF by Dave Ramsey is available online. When you list it, you're going to list the credit card name, the total balance owed, the interest rate that you're paying, just so you see that big number. All the cards are going to be as high as the government will let them have it, which is usually 25, 27%, something like that.
Wow.
And then you want to show your monthly payment, your minimum, and then the balance due. And you just want to keep a running record of this. The goal is you look at the very lowest amount that you have to pay. So let's say that your lowest card has $5,000 on it and you owe $50 every month as your minimum. You're going to be paying off for the rest of your life if you only pay the minimum. But if you look at that and say, well, okay, it says 50, but I can pay 100 if I really push it. So you want to pay that $100 every month without fail on that credit card. So you're paying it down faster. Mm-hmm. And then when you do that, and it's paid off, you get to cross it off that piece of paper. And that is such an accomplishment. It's rewarding to see that.
Right.
You take that $100 that you've been paying on that lowest card and you take it to the next one. You say, okay, well, I'm paying $75 on that one. So now you're going to pay $175 on that. And you're going to keep on doing that all the way up the list and watch each one just get chucked off. Okay, I'm free of that debt. I'm free of that. The beauty of doing this is you see it's working as you're working the system. Mm-hmm. You're learning how to manage your money better because you're having to pay the price to go through these steps. It really strengthens you to never let yourself get in that situation again. No matter who tells you, well, yeah, I'm going to pay that off for you. Yeah, sure. Let me use your credit card and I'll pay you next month when I get paid. No, your credit is your credit. You don't have mm-hmm. to lend anybody anything. The biblical belief on lending is if you are going to lend money, then you have to do it. You want to do it in a way where you don't care if you ever get it back. Mm-hmm. So if you can't afford to lose it, don't lend it.
Wow, that's a great word.
All these little things. These are little things that we're doing that are teaching the skill set, but it's also building your self-esteem, building your resilience, building your awareness. You're educating yourself in the process.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and what I really like about this process is there's lots of small wins over time.
Right.
I know this might seem a little silly, but getting a box to start gathering all your statements, if that's all you can do the first day, you get to pat yourself on the back and say, okay, I got the box.
Right.
You start gathering things and getting a notebook to start recording things, downloading a PDF. Mm-hmm. I know those seem silly, but you're building those habits of, I'm going to be in charge. I don't feel in charge right now. And I've had a lot of boundary violations or a lot of bad things that have happened to my credit. And I've got some repair work to do and some shepherding to do and some healing to do. But today I got the box. Tomorrow I downloaded the PDF. The next day I started gathering all the forms. I stuck them in the box. Those count because in a year, that box could be empty. You could have everything recorded. You could have 10 things you're paying off, and you might have already paid off the first and the second and the third one.
Mm-hmm.
And it all adds up. And at the end of the year, you can say, I remember what it was like to have that overwhelming box and that empty piece of paper.
Right.
And look where I am now. Look what I've done.
That right there is exactly what the big fear, because we're not looking at the box. We're not looking at the statements. No. We're living in fear.
Yep.
And so the fear may not even be as big as we have it in our heads, but we don't know until we've pulled all that paperwork together. So this is a wonderful series of steps to go through that is body calming, mind calming.
Right.
You know, it creates a peace to say, okay, I know all the facts. There's nothing left out there to be concerned about.
Because, you know, it's so true that sometimes, you know, at other times in our life, we could just like take on the world, no worries. But when you're coming, especially in those early days, when you're coming out of the relationship and you're reestablishing your life, you are already crushed in your heart. And that's huge to deal with. And now when you're faced with all the financials, you know, and you start finding out information or whatever, just like you said, Carol, the fear of it, just the overwhelm of everything, all your margins and reserves have been depleted just getting out of the relationship. So now you got to turn and put energy and time and effort into rebuilding. And it's crucial. You have to do it. But I remember being so overwhelmed at one point that I had a friend who we'd get on the phone together, or we'd get on Zoom together. And I'd say, you know, I need to go in and I need to look at this. And I'm afraid of what I'm going to find. I can feel the anxiety rising in me over what it's going to take to work through this and turn this thing around. And she would get on the phone and say, let's do it together. So I'd pull it up on Zoom and we'd talk it through together. And it was just that moral support of having someone there with me that was a safe person. And I just felt bolstered by that. And I know that sounds silly, but sometimes if you've, you know, some narc relationships are worse than others. And one of mine that I came out with, you know, we're talking sociopath level with that and some really evil stuff that was going on and lots of evilness behind the scenes. So, I needed that extra bolster of encouragement and support that, you know, whatever I looked at in that moment, I didn't feel so all alone in the world. Right. You know, it made me feel less victimized, if that makes sense.
So you don't want to be in the foxhole alone. There's a foxhole mentality of I'm literally digging a hole in the ground and I'm hiding in it till the shelling is over. And sometimes you need the foxhole. You don't want to live in the foxhole forever. And great once the shelling is stopped and you've pulled yourself out, then it's time to take the steps that Carol's talking about.
Yeah.
Then it's time to say, I don't want to live in the foxhole. I want to build a nice house over there by the river under the trees. And sometimes it takes a while. You've got to lay the foundation like we're doing here. Then you gather the wood and then you buy the pretty flowers when you're all done. But it's a process. It's a process to build a foundation and put a house on it.
Yeah.
And it's not going to happen overnight. And grabbing the box can be, well, sticking your head out of the foxhole is probably the first step, right?
Right.
Shelling's done. It's actually okay. I can come out. The next step is actually sometimes getting a box or opening up, maybe if you're very techie, an Excel spreadsheet. So, and starting to gather these things that Carol has mentioned, bank statements, and even making a list of how do I find my FICO score. Sorry. So sometimes a Google search counts as I did that today. I'm going to figure out how to get that information, or I'm going to call somebody who can help me get that information. That counts too.
That does.
Like you just said, women, it's not all yourself.
Right. A lot of women who may have had somebody else handling their finances don't know what they don't know, and they're embarrassed to ask.
Yeah.
So look at the friends around you who seem to do well. See if they can help you. But that's one option. But there are a couple authors out there that are amazing to study. David Bach is somebody who he's written several books. He's been on the bestseller list forever. His books are very easy to understand. Start Late, Finish Rich is one of his books, but he particularly zoned in on women and money, which I think is great. It really gives a good understanding. Dave Ramsey is a good resource. The things that we're going to provide you here are a simple, quick resource that we're going to walk through. But this is when you're going to learn, and this is going to make you stronger also. All the wounds that you just received in that relationship, as you take these steps, you're going to feel stronger. You're going to feel more confident. And that's the goal here. We are rebuilding your foundation, but we're also helping you be rebuilt in the process.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that's so good.
A couple more things I want to touch on is since we're talking about money, we talked about the checking, having a checking account in your name, a savings account in your name. Ideally, we want 3 to 6 months of an emergency fund in that money market or savings account. And what that means is this is money that you don't touch. It is truly for emergencies. You've been through something that is just out of the ordinary. This is when you can use that money. But what it's based on is you look at what your expenses are for any month, get your average expenses, and then multiply that times 3. And that's what you want in that account. And then you want to build it up to 6 months. You know, for all of us having gone through the pandemic, for a lot of people, having an emergency fund was a good thing when they immediately lost their jobs. People who were in industries where everything shut down for periods of time, this was life-saving. We don't know what's going to happen, and maybe nothing, but there's another security level that comes for you just in having that amount. So we want to build that up.
Peace of mind.
The other thing I do really want, Yes. The other thing I really want to address is when you are working, if you have an employer who will match your investment in a 401, you want to take advantage of that. That is free money. It is pre-tax. So you may look at that and say, oh my gosh, they're going to take $100 out of my paycheck. It's not going to be $100 out of your paycheck because it's pre-tax. It will be a percentage of that $100 that you're actually going to see. So you're not really losing money. You're doubling what you're putting in, and it's not going to look as painful when you take it out. And your HR person will help you walk through the numbers and what they'll actually look like, but strongly realize this is free money, and you really mm-hmm. want to build up your net worth using every possibility that you can. One of the most motivating ways to look at this is go online, go to a compounding calculator and say, all right, if I put $100 into my investment account, what will I have in 10 years, 20 years, 25 years? And then take that chart and put it on your wall and realize this is why I'm saving. I will be okay. I will have $500,000 in this time. I will have $1 million in this time. It's all up to you, but you will see the correlation between what you invest and what you should have in time. It's another sign saying it's not hopeless and I'm getting more responsible and I'm building my foundation and I'm strengthening uh-huh. who I am. So those are the
great goals. Idea.
And that self-talk is wonderful to move from saying I'm a person who needs someone to take care of me mm-hmm. to I'm a person who has a chart on the wall that shows how much money mm-hmm. I'm saving and where right. I'll be at in 10 years. Right. That's a huge shift on how you see yourself and how you see your life and how much energy you have for that type of activity.
Right.
And that translates into other dimensions right. of your life too, when you start feeling that way.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's like a domino effect. Right. One area can give you energy way. To start working on another area. Yeah.
It's funny because the women who work this system, when we watch them go from having felt like they lost everything to taking each piece of this and working at it, they often end up in a better financial state than they were when they were with the narcissist mm-hmm. because they never had money. They never knew where it was. They never knew what was going on. He probably had all the toys and was always complaining about how much money was being spent while you're feeling, okay, can I get a cup of coffee today? You know, because mm-hmm. he's put so much pressure on you in the relationship. The pressure's gone now. He's gone. You're able to rebuild. You're able to completely reestablish. And that's what we're doing. I think Annette loves this story that I've talked about before. When I'm working with clients, there is a time when they walk in the door, they are so stressed. They are experiencing more fear than they probably ever felt in their lives. But as they start taking these steps and they start, oh, I'm in my own apartment. I'm in my own home. My bank account is good. My income is good. I've got a job. I'm going forward. I can see how things are playing out. And what I tell my clients is there will come a day when you get up in the morning, you get out of bed, you walk to your kitchen, you grab that cup of tea or a cup of coffee. And as it's being made, you look around and realize, oh, nobody's criticizing me. Nobody's taunting me. Nobody's making me feel bad. Mm-hmm. I'm free. I could do whatever I want. This is great. And that's the moment mm-hmm. I call the happy dance. It's what we all joke about because it's that moment you realize you're set free and you look around and this is great. I'm doing the happy dance. Life is great. I got it. Everything's in order. And that's what we're trying to do here. What we want to do is we want to get women to realize, yes, it felt like you were just thrown off of a cliff, but that's not the way it's going to stay. We're going to take you back up and sometimes maybe even better than you ever were. That's our goal, to help you get there.
Oh, I love that. So if we can kind of summarize some of these things that you've been talking about in terms of, you know, mentally and emotionally within yourself. So Wendy brought up about practice taking action every week toward this goal mm-hmm. of protecting yourself financially and, you know, taking the steps that Carol was talking about. You want to keep working on that mental shift of letting go of what was and choosing to build a better life. You know, you don't want to get stuck like on the fence between two worlds, so to speak. So you want to keep progressing forward, even if it's baby steps. As a matter of fact, it's a good thing if it's a baby step. So give yourself grace as you work through these things. You know, I mean, you just went through a category 5 hurricane in your life. So, you know, now you're rebuilding and you will rebuild and you'll be better than you ever were before. But give yourself the grace, take the baby steps and celebrate each of your steps along the way. Even if it's a baby step, celebrate it, you know, because sometimes we need that. We just need that, like Wendy mentioned, the small wins every day. Because if we just go at it with a mindset of, I'm just going to accumulate one baby step win today, if that's all the energy you have in the moment as you're starting with this, that's valid. And those, you know, little winning baby steps each day are cumulative. So be sure to keep going with that. And then find someone that will celebrate with you on that progress. And that might be a good friend or someone who understands. It could be someone in the Beautiful Life Virtual Cafe that they get it, you know, like we're in there. We will applaud you. We will celebrate with you as you take these steps. And you can even come in the cafe and just create like a warm, supportive accountability system for yourself in there by just posting and saying, all right, this is what I'm going to do today. I'm going to do this baby step and this baby step later this afternoon. And then we'll say, okay, go for it. And then you come back and post again and say, I did it, you know, and we will happy dance with you in that moment because we get it. We get what it takes to walk through this. So, you know, Carol, you had mentioned, we were talking before we started recording and you had mentioned about the Proverbs 31 woman. You want to share a little bit about that?
Yeah. I do. I think that's such a good one. We look for, often when we're doing Bible studies, we study the strong women of the Bible and we know so many of the stories. Looking at the Proverbs 31 woman, here's a woman who took multiple areas of life and she was authentic. She did what was good for her, what was right for her. Mm-hmm. And you see her strength in that. And I like to use that for myself. Or for other women just to look at it. We don't have to be her. We don't have to do everything that she's doing. But if you look at it, her husband loved her. Her husband supported her. That was not your experience with the narcissist.
Right.
All those things that she's accomplishing are all the things he said you can't accomplish or that you're not good at or that he tore down. So I want you to see the difference, the parallel between here's a woman who's supported and she's able to move mountains because she has that support. You didn't have it then, but that doesn't mean you don't have it now. So we just want to pray that you have that awareness that whatever he said in his own protection to make himself feel better. Maybe he felt intimidated because he did see how wonderful you were and that was threatening to him. Don't let it be. Realize that you can take any part of the Proverbs 31 woman and what is authentic to you and take that on. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see more and more of that as you build each step that we're talking about.
Love that. Well, why don't we go ahead and pray and we will pray over you as you're listening to this. So Lord, we come before you now and we thank you for the example of the Proverbs 31 woman. Help us to see ourselves, Lord, not through the eyes of, oh, I don't measure up compared to her, but rather, this is what's possible. So I ask you, Lord, that, you know, in that moment, as we think about the Proverbs 31 woman, show us, just like Carol was saying, what pieces of those ring true for us, you know, in principle of how that woman, you know, was designing her life and moving forward. And I ask you, Lord, that, you know, we take your word at face value when you said that we can do all things through you because you strengthen us. We're in partnership with you. We can move mountains. Lord, help us to rebuild our belief in ourselves and our trust in you that when we link arms together, nothing is impossible. So I pray, Lord, for the strength and the wisdom. I pray for courage and conviction to keep moving forward, to keep putting one foot in front of the other, to keep taking these baby steps of progress that are cumulative. in laying this new foundation. I ask you, Lord, for divine favor over this woman, that she is able to find people that, you know, the Red Sea parts at certain moments when she needs it the most, and she's able to be connected with just the right individuals, and, you know, that speak something into her life in that moment that help her to continue moving forward. I ask, Lord, for your guidance over her as she makes these foundational steps, especially in this area of the finances that we were talking about today. We know, Lord, that you can multiply finances like the loaves and fishes, but you don't just drop bags of money in our lap, because then we wouldn't learn there. We wouldn't grow through that. But I ask you, Lord, that in the moments when it feels overwhelming, that you would bring people into her life that would support, that would encourage, that would have the practical wisdom, the practical know-how that she needs, so she doesn't get stuck, that she's able to continually progress. And we praise you in advance, Lord, as we see her in our minds already doing that happy dance. And the peace that comes along with that, that sense of self-mastery as victimhood is removed and power returns. Lord, you didn't create us as women to live under someone's boot. You meant for us to have a powerful place of influence in your kingdom. So this new foundation is part of what it's going to take to get us there. So we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to create a new foundation in our finances, you know, in our home, perhaps, in our routines, in our perspective, Lord, in every dimension of our life. This is our do-over moment, and it's going to be great. We thank you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So we've got a beautiful life growth challenge for you again this week. And it involves directly some of these things that Carol has been talking about, because Carol's got a really helpful free PDF download with a checklist and everything that kind of walks you through these basic steps, you know, with the finances and a few other things. And you'll find it available for you, waiting for you there in the Beautiful Life Cafe. Now, we're super glad that you joined us today to talk about these practical and crucial steps for setting up your new life so that you feel safe and secure, because you need that in place so you can step into what God's called you to do in the bigger picture. We look forward to having tea and some great conversation with you again next week in the next Never Narc episode. So be sure to subscribe and share with others who could benefit. Help get the word out about this resource that's available. And we'll be glad to answer your questions and support your actions, your baby steps forward, and pray with you in the Beautiful Life Virtual Cafe. You can activate your free membership for immediate access at AnnetteChesney.com/cafe. So come talk to us in there, and we'll be there for you. And so will some other women. We'll see you there. Bye-bye. We invite you to join us in the Beautiful Life Virtual Cafe. Activate your free membership at AnnetteChesney.com/cafe and join amazing Christian women professionals like you who are intentional about rising above personal trials to start winning again in business and life. Inside the cafe, you'll be able to view the video versions of all the Never Narc podcasts and chat with Wendy, Carol, and me about each topic. You'll also enjoy access to additional free training, downloadable workbooks and resources, and a supportive community. We'll see you in the cafe.